Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. That's me. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is a great day here at the Todd Starnes radio program. Our broadcast bunker, heavily fortified, and it has to be because it's Memphis. I think the entire building is like a fortress, and we have just gotten some breaking news. Do we have Dylan? Do we have the breaking news banner? Do we have the alert?
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hold the breaking news in my formerly chicken fried steak stained fingers. Word just coming in that Buc-ee's is now going to build one of their giant interstate outposts just mere miles from the Todd Starn Show news bunker. This is an exciting day, ladies and gentlemen, in West Tennessee. You can hear people cheering across the fruited plain. As a matter of fact, it's Memphis. There may very well be gunfire. I don't know. But this is exciting news. Yes, soon beaver nuggets will be flowing across the fruited plain. They're building it off of Interstate 40, just right outside of Memphis, which is actually a smart thing. You don't want to actually be in the city limits. It's a little too dangerous. We're getting a Buc-ee's. I feel like we've just announced we're expecting a child. That's what, honest to goodness. By the way, do you know they actually have a baby section at Buc-ee's where you can buy like little onesies and things of that? I had no idea. So, Dylan, I'm going shopping. I know you got the big wedding coming up and the wedding shower, and I'm heading over to Buc-ee's.
Thank you, Todd. I was trying to go on my diet, but now I guess it's put on pause.
I was going to get you like matching Buc-ee's plates or something. You know, you need good dinnerware.
The fine china.
That's it. Made in America, hopefully. I don't know. All right. Where do we want to start? So, look, here's the situation in New York City at Columbia University. Folks, this is insane. And I've got a new policy. We are implementing a new policy here on the Todd Starnes radio program. From this point forward, we're not going to be calling them pro-Hamas demonstrators. We're not going to be calling them pro-Gaza demonstrators. No, these people are not just pro-Hamas. They are Hamas. All of these kids that are occupying the college campuses, they are Hamas. And they should be treated as such. These people are domestic terrorists. By the way, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but the tent cities are popping up at university campuses across the fruited plain. And I've noticed something very interesting. All of the tents are alike. In other words, it's the same make, the same brand, the same model pup tent that's going up. So they're literally pitching tents across the nation, and they all look like they came from the same sporting goods store. Now, I just want to ask you, what are the chances of something like that happening? You think that was really just a coincidence? Or is it possible? And by the way, guess what just happened to be in the middle of Columbia's yard ready for the Hamas terrorist? Pallets of bricks. Now, where have we seen that before? So is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that ultimately this is really not about what's happening in Gaza, that this is really about causing mayhem causing rioting across America in advance of the 2024 presidential election? Is it possible that that's what's really going on here? So, look, I want to point some things out here. And Columbia is going to be a center point of what we're talking about today. Speaker Mike Johnson is heading down to Columbia, and he's supposed to be delivering remarks. Now, our understanding is that Speaker Johnson is going to condemn Hamas at Columbia, but you never know with this guy. He may end up just bringing along a sleeping bag and joining the protest. I mean, you never know where Mike Johnson's gonna stand on an issue. So anyway, we'll dip into those remarks. We're following those developments. But ladies and gentlemen, late last night, word came down, and I stayed up late because I had my Orville Redenbacher. I know I'm not supposed to be eating popcorn, but I had my Orville Redenbacher movie theater butter popcorn. I had my Baptist martini, and I was getting ready to watch all the drama unfold because the university told the terrorist, you have until the stroke of midnight to pack up your tents and go back home. And the word leaked out that that Governor Kathy Hochul had grown a pair and was actually going to call in the National Guard. So the National Guard in New York was being activated, that they were on standby to go in, and it was going to be a knockdown drag out. So anyway, midnight comes and midnight goes, and nothing happens. They said, you've got to leave by midnight or there's going to be you know what to pay. No hummus for you. No pita bread for you. And they didn't move. As a matter of fact, the terrorist actually called in reinforcements. Now, meanwhile, down the street at NYU, which is sort of more of an open campus in the Chelsea area of Manhattan, all you know what broke loose when the cops went in and they cracked skulls. Those cops weren't messing around. They were arresting people. They were filling up the buses and they were arresting people, and then they were letting them right back out the back door. Unbelievable. But at Columbia, so then it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and so the university administrator comes out and says, All right, we really mean it this time. If you don't pack up your tents and your hijabs, if you don't get up and leave by 8 a.m., we're going to do some really bad things to you. So I went to bed. And then 8 o'clock this morning, got up, and sure enough, the terrorists are still there. They're still there, ladies and gentlemen. And now the administrators are saying, well, we're going to give you 48 hours, and if you don't pack up your hummus and hijabs, we're going to come in after you. So they issue this 48-hour edict. They also announced to the entire university, and Dylan, I know you're wrapping up your college degree here, your college career. They're now announcing that the rest of the semester at Columbia, which costs tens of thousands of dollars to go to, they're just going to be on a Zoom. They're going to do virtual classes. I mean, these kids are paying top dollar for an education here at the Ivy League school, and now they're being told, no, you can't come here because we're giving the campus over to the terrorist. So they gave them the 48 hours, right? So now the university is coming back and saying, well, we've decided to negotiate with the terrorists. You can't do that. Oh, that's always a bad move. You can't negotiate with the terrorist. You really can't. Now, what I would have done if I was president of Columbia University is I would have locked everybody in. And they're actually, and this is fascinating. Do you know what they actually are doing right now? This is fascinating. They're building a wall, a plywood. They're literally getting just plywood, and they're building just sheets and sheets of plywood, and they're building a makeshift wall around Columbia. Now, it's fascinating. The liberals, they sort of have a love-hate relationship with the walls, but when they need one to keep out the bad guys, then by golly, they're going to build a wall. And the whole point of that is to keep all of the reinforcements from getting onto campus. By the way, while all this is going down, I just want to point this out. Little Chucky Schumer, little Chucky, he lives in New York City, and they found out where he lived. And so the mob showed up at his front door. Do you realize they arrested 300 people last night because they were at Chucky Schumer's house? One set of rules for them, another set for the rest of us. So anyway, now Columbia is going to negotiate with these people. And I just have a question. And it's a pretty simple question. What are they going to be negotiating? Now, I think we need to take the Hamas terrorist here, the American Hamas, America Hamas, American Hamas. We need to take them at their word. They're marching. They have signs. They have banners. They have chants. And what are they saying? Death to Israel. That's what they're calling it. Death to Israel. These people literally want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. That's their goal. I mean, that they're cheating it. They've got the signs and the banners. That's what they want. They want to wipe Israel off the face of the planet. So imagine just sitting down there at the negotiating table with the administrators of Hamas, and they're saying, all right, Hamas, what do you want? We want death to Israel. Death to Israel. Whatever they do. And so they're saying, well, all right, well, that's a good starting point, Hamas. That's Ahmed. And Ahmed, by the way, Ahmed is really a guy named Larry from, like, I don't know, Kalamazoo, Michigan, but he got, like, radicalized at Columbia. So, but now Larry, and instead of being a good Lutheran kid, now he's, a Muslim wannabe terrorist. And so, anyway, Ahmed, a.k.a. Larry from Kalamazoo, is sitting there at the negotiation table. And they're like, okay, Larry, that's a good start. So you want to wipe all of the Jews off of the face of the earth. Yes, we do. Death to Israel. Death to Israel. Arr! And we want hummus. Well, Larry, okay, we can get you the hummus. We'll get you the, you know what, Larry? Here's what we will do. We will provide at the student cafeteria at Columbia University, we will provide you an ethnic buffet. And so we'll just, like, every week we'll, like, sub out a different, like, Middle Eastern country. From Kalamazoo. How does that? Yarsh, we want hummus. Hummus, we want the hummus. And camel. Oh, Larry, you eat camel. Oh, dear. Okay, we can do that. But Larry, what else do you want? We want to exterminate the Jews. Now, Larry, we can't do that. What about 75%, Larry? Will you go there? No, we want death to all the Jews. I mean, this is what they, do you see how ludicrous a negotiation with these people? You can't negotiate in good faith with somebody who wants to wipe you off the face of the earth. I mean, what is, all right, fine. If you're going to compromise here, are the administrators going to come out and announce, all right, we've decided that we've talked him down off the ledge here, folks, and now they only want to exterminate 50% of Israel. So we have a good compromise here. God help us if Mike Johnson's on campus, because he would actually work out that deal. You can't negotiate with these people. This is evil that we are dealing with here, folks. And this evil is on every single university campus in America. And all of this is being orchestrated and organized to cause chaos in this country leading up to the presidential election. Now, I will just go on the record now and say this. If these Hamas terrorists are activated, these sleeper cells, and that's what this is at Columbia, NYU, MIT, and now in Detroit, if these sleeper cells are activated, there may not even be a choice. They may have to implement martial law. And when that happens, they cancel the election. I mean, do you see how all this can play out? That's why what's happening at Columbia is a big deal. The president of the United States of America, Joe Biden, is turning a blind eye to Jews literally being run off of university campuses. And nobody is bothered by that. Nobody. Now, I want you to imagine something here. What if that crowd was out there, and instead of chanting death to Israel, they were calling for the lynching of black people or the extermination of Native Americans? What if the mob was going out there and they were threatening to throw gay people off the buildings, off the rooftops at Columbia University? How do you think there would be national outrage? There would be wall-to-wall news coverage. President Biden would have a nationally televised address. You can see it now. My fellow Americans. Thank you. There would be outrage everywhere in America. Congress would be defunding all the universities. But when it comes to people threatening to kill the Jews or the Christians, well, no. That sort of behavior, oh, that's tolerated everywhere. As a matter of fact, at Columbia right now, the faculty and staff are out there standing in solidarity with the terrorists. They really do want death to Israel. That's what they want. We can't let that happen. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, we do have a survey up on our live show blog and would love for you to take part in this. We're going to try to start doing this on a pretty regular basis. So the question, if President Trump goes to jail, would that make you more or less likely to vote for him in 2024? And you can cast your vote at ToddStearns.com. Just click on our live show blog there and you will see the survey question. But this is a big deal because the judge in the New York case, the hush money trial, is going to make a determination whether or not Trump actually should be held in contempt of court. Now, the running theory is that if he is found in contempt, that the judge would just levy a heavy fine. However, there is the possibility that he could go to jail. And that's ultimately what the prosecutors want. They want Trump in jail. Now, if I were President Trump, I wouldn't shut up one bit. I'd get a bigger microphone, a bigger megaphone, and I'd be shouting from the rooftops what they're doing to me here. And the president, this is nothing more than election interference. That's all this trial is. So if I were President Trump, I'd just keep shouting from the rooftops. So the question is, if the president goes to jail, what happens? Well, the Secret Service, this is from the reporting of Mediaite, the Secret Service is already making plans in the event that Trump is sent to jail because they still have to protect the president. Now, if it would be up to Alvin Bragg, they would put President Trump in like the general population, right? They'd want, and that's all these people want. They know this is a sham trial, folks. It's just, there's nothing here at all. Legally, there's nothing here. So, but that doesn't matter. What they want are the optics. They want the video. They want the mugshots. And look what happened when they had the mugshot. It completely backfired. Trump's approval ratings in the minority communities almost tripled overnight. So every time they try to do something like this, it just makes Trump more popular. But I am curious, ladies and gentlemen, again, vote in our poll. But what say you? If the president does go to jail, would that make you more or less likely to vote for him? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. We're going to have a fun show today, and wow, a lot of our Memphis listeners are fired up today as well. Let's go to the phone lines, and then we're going to say hello to a good friend of this program, Wayne from Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our great affiliate there. Hi, Wayne. What's going on?
Everything's just lovely in Memphis, but on your comments about the demonstrations, I think every person and every student and every college should be put on the terrorist watch list and the no-fly list, and that may bring a little reality to them.
Wayne, this is a brilliant idea. So everybody who is in the encampment, and by the way, they've got a wall around them, Wayne, so this ought to be easy for, easy for the cops to go in there and get all of these people. So you're saying put all these kids on the terrorist watch list and the no-fly list.
That's correct. They don't think they're being filmed at every college. And the FBI, they will search the January 6th people. They will find these students.
Well, no, Wayne, now I have to take you to task on that, sir, because the FBI director, Chris Wray, has testified that they don't surveil these protests. They don't do that as the FBI. Are you buying that?
Well, then you're saying they don't lie.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Wayne, the question is, when are these protests going to start at the University of Memphis? Because you know that they've, you know, we've got a very large Hamas group here in the Mid-South.
I do not know that.
Oh, you didn't? Yes, sir. Sure do. They've been protesting all over town. So we'll pay attention to it. And I know our friends at KWAM will keep you updated. But, Wayne, it's a good thought. I like this idea. Let's put them on a no-fly list. And let's put them on the terrorist watch list. Wayne, thank you, and God bless you. Thank you for listening to KWAM. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think here? What do we ought to do with these kids that are holding these universities and these colleges hostage? 901-260-5926. Wayne says put them on the terror watch list. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to bring into the conversation good friend of this radio program. As a matter of fact, you are going to hear him. He's actually going to be filling in, making a debut inaugural hosting gig here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. He is the morning show host at KWAM, our good friend Ben Dieter.
Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Ben, I'm doing good. I am getting a lot of emails from people in the industry saying, are you really sure you want to let Dieter unleashed on the national show?
And you say, absolutely. I want him on. Now, Todd,
I didn't say that, actually, but okay.
All right, now I need the receipts. You know, I think you've taught me a lot. So Todd actually gave me my first job. It has been my only job, and you've showed me the ropes.
You became the number one talk radio host here in the Memphis market. It's unbelievable, and the numbers of people that now follow you, and you're young, you're in your mid-20s, and you're also a conservative.
Yeah, is that an anomaly anymore? You look shocked.
I'm not shocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not shocked.
You know, we tell it like it is, and that should not matter if you're old, young, white, black. I mean, we've got a country to save, so someone better start speaking.
I love the attitude. And the other thing is, you are triggering a lot of people in the media. And there are a couple of stories that are circulating and percolating, and I want to bring to your attention. First of all, the athletic director at the University of Memphis just got hired. He's going to Missouri, and he's a white guy. And so the chief sports columnist at the Commercial Appeal, which is owned by Gannett, that's the big national newspaper chain. So he posted something on, he wrote a column, and his column was about the need for a black athletic director. So is that it? Am I getting the story right here, Dieter?
Yeah. So the outgoing sports athletic director, the biggest crime against him, per his name is Mark Giannotto.
That's the writer
for the Commercial Appeal, is that he was a white dude. Now, this is coming from a white dude. Are we shocked? The opinion piece writer here. And he says this is an opportunity, one like we've never seen before, to right the wrong of slavery. And we can do that by placing a black person in that role. No, we're not going to look at merit, Todd. We're not going to look at the wins. We're going to look at skin color, and that will determine the next athletic director.
And so just in case the nuance is missed in what is a really racially charged column, is that a fair way to call it, a racially charged column?
Well, he goes after the president of the University of Memphis. Here's why. Because he came from that racist school, Auburn, an SEC school.
Oh, geez.
He's not one of ours.
All right.
Yeah. So, yes, racially charged.
So just in case you missed the nuance in the racially charged column, the headline of the racially charged column is, the next University of Memphis athletic director should be its first black AD.
So imagine if that was reversed. Imagine if at the top of the Commercial Appeal or any paper in America ran the headline, the next university, fill in the blank, whatever university athletic director should be white. Or Asian.
Or the Memphis Grizzlies should have at least one white person on the team or something like that, I suppose.
Well, that's what Mark is saying in the piece. He says it should be reflective of the team members, and there are a lot of black athletes, so they need a black coach.
Okay, so wow. Of course, this is not racist. So KWAM pointed all of this out to the community here, and with a very simple point, we shared the story to the radio audience and said, so the Commercial Appeal wants the next athletic director to be hired based on race, not ability. And that set him off.
That's exactly right, which we literally just repeated back the headline to the column writer, and he said the following. If that's the takeaway from reading the column, well, then that's a real shame. I think if you read the column, the conversation I think the community should be having is much more nuanced than the typical culture war nonsense that KWAM is using to be relevant.
I see. So all we did was share the headline of the guy's story.
He's the one that turned this into a culture war by saying that the next athletic director should be hired based on skin color and not merit. But it's us that's the problem in trying to make this into a race thing.
This is really fascinating. And they point out, and the guy, I mean, it is a racially charged column. There's no way around it. And look, the most qualified person may in fact be a black person, but why did the newspaper bring race into it? And I'm curious, Ben, what the response was from this guy's readers.
They all agreed with KWAM and not the Commercial Appeal. They took the side of the conservative blowtorch and not of this radical columnist, Todd. Everybody's just pointing out the obvious. look at the coach's merit, look at the athletic director's portfolio, what's in their career past, and make your decision based on their qualifications and not race-based admissions, basically, DEI hires. So, I don't know. He's pretty upset. We reached out to get him on the morning show tomorrow.
So you reached out. So, and again, this is what I love about talk radio, ladies and gentlemen, and your local radio stations, is that by and large, you guys are owned by, you know, local families or local businesses and communities. And we're able to say things and do things that the others are not allowed to. We're able to go out there and talk about these issues. And when you've got the race baiters over at your local newspaper, and by the way, most, not all, but most of the people in journalism are leftist. And so talk radio is really where you're going to be able to get a truly fair and balanced conversation. I want to bring in Ben. You've already generated some calls here. Let's go to Memphis. David is listening to us on KWAM and wants to weigh in here. David, you're on the air with me and Ben Dieter.
Yeah, I saw that back and forth earlier today. The headline doesn't leave a lot of room for whatever nuance. I guess that's the word that they throw out there when they're trying to sound as intelligent as if you just can't understand what they're trying to say. I'm like, well, it pretty much says when you say the next athletic director should be African American, I don't know where the nuance is in that sentence, but maybe I'm just not as intelligent. But secondly, then to come back about relevance, we're talking about the commercial field here, right, with an empty on Union, and we're talking about, most of them left to go to the Daily Memphian, so I don't really know how relevant commercial appeal is. I'm not even sure. I don't even know if anybody reads commercial appeal anymore. I know they don't. You know, the paper is gone, the actual physical paper, but online is where it's at, I guess. But commercial appeal, I mean, hello, you know, Pod the Kettle's calling. This is a little odd for them to be talking about someone's relevance, but that was just my opinion on it. I don't see the nuance there. I don't really know where there's a lot of room for that.
David, I'm with you on this. And look, and it very well may be that the best person for the job is black, but that shouldn't matter. And especially in a city like Memphis, where, you know, this is a majority black city, and just about everybody elected in power is done so because of race and political party. And I just have I think the city is in such dire straits right now, guys, simply because we're not electing the best people for the job.
Oh, exactly. And on this case, this is a big moment in Memphis athletic history with the FedEx partnership and with the way that the landscape has changed across college sports. This needs to be a really good hire. If you're trying to talk about going to conference realignment or trying to raise money to keep up with the schools around us, and this is a big deal. This is not something you just do that you can check a box. This has ramifications, you know, that are real, with real dollars.
You're right. David, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend, but thank you for listening, and thanks for calling in. And Dieter, we mentioned, you know, the ramifications of race and really making decisions on everything based through that racial lens. You look at what's happening in Memphis with the crime. The mayor announcing yesterday wants a 28% increase in the property tax, the highest in the history of the city, and it'll be one of the highest in the nation. And all that because he wants to spend $5 million building midnight basketball courts.
Because that's a logical response to juvenile crime. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. He literally says one of the solutions to curb crime in this city is to create a midnight hoops program. Now, what did your mom tell you? Because my mom told me nothing ever good happens after dark. Meanwhile, the same mayor said that we are under a 10 o'clock curfew, so it doesn't make sense. But you're right, Todd. All of these positions are DEI. I mean, we have a DEI police chief. Her qualifications were her skin color. So it goes to a deeper problem in the city of Memphis.
My mom always said, watch your brother. I'm going to the bar. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true.
I don't believe that.
That's not true. All right, Ben Dieter. So you're ready. Next week, you're going to be in the big anchor chair.
Where are you headed off to? Todd's gone all the time now because he's got this big book tour.
Yeah. So heading to Houston, and we're doing a big event at Houston Christian University. It's for the launch of our great affiliate there, Patriot Talk 920. So we're going to have a lot of fun and meet a lot of our great listeners in Houston.
Good stuff.
All right, Ben Dieter, everybody. And Ben, you'll also be able to read his work over at toddstearns.com. A great writer, great broadcaster, great journalist. Here's the deal. We're going to go to the phone lines. Got to take a break first. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, don't forget to head over to our website, and you can vote in our live show blog poll. We want to know, if President Trump gets arrested, does that make you more or less inclined to vote for Donald John Trump in 2024? Again, 901-260-5926, our number. Let's go to the phone lines. Cordova, Tennessee, Black Conservative is on. You know, it's been a long time, Black Conservative.
I am the most erudite mind, brilliant thinker, and political philosopher. I'm glad I found your show. I was just here at the airport hanging out, and I said, let me turn to 990, and I hear your voice. Yeah, I got to call in to Todd's show. How are you today?
Black Conservative, I am doing well, and you're right. You elevate the knowledge that is presented on this radio program, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain.
Well, absolutely. I don't have to be informed by these liberal, radical Democrats here in the city of Memphis, especially the one downtown. They're incompetent. You know, I said before this mayor was elected, he was a bad choice from the beginning. He was a recipe for disaster, just like Sleepy Joe up there in the White House. I knew he was a slick oil salesman because liberal only answer to all the solutions and problems that they want to fix crime and they want to fix relationships and da 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 da. Is to fund their nonsensical programs and ideas with taxpayers' dollars. I knew this was coming, just like the mayor out there in Shelby County. Fine you for every car that you have in your driveway.
Well, let me jump in here, because I know our time is short, and I want to get your take on two things. First of all, the polling data out there shows probably historic numbers of blacks are going to be voting Republican in 2024. I'm curious, are you hearing that? And why do you think that is? Why are people being drawn to President Trump and the Republicans?
Well, they're being drawn for one reason only. Trump showed more concern for the pressing needs in the black community than Crazy Joe, than Democrat. The Democrat Party, only thing Democrats going to do is come in every 4 years and they're going to beat the drum of racism. So blacks are waking up to the fact that, hey, there are more important things that families need to be concerned about in the black community than just racial issues like that, which really only exists in the mind of liberal Democrats, not in America, because there ain't no race problem in America. They're just something Democrats have drawn up out of the swamp. But the truth of the matter is, lots of my friends are saying, hey, man, I'm going to vote for Trump, because they see that Joe Biden, President Biden policies not only is failing them, have failed the America, the economy, but has failed, you know, the black man, is not helping. Only thing Biden has done, promised to do when he came to office was to ban menthol and cigarettes in the black community. That's about the stupidest stuff I ever seen somebody suggest to do, because I don't smoke. Okay. We're going to ban menthol and cigarettes. That's going to help the black community because they're getting cancer the most. Well, stop smoking and you won't get cancer. Say it on a label. It's dangerous. But here's the deal. The truth of the matter is they're going to vote because they see that, you know, these high gas prices, food prices, it's affecting everybody.
It is.
Black, white, all across the board. So 30%, I seen that 30% that they're inclined to vote for Trump. What was your second question there?
I'm running out. You've got 30 seconds here. What do you say about these anti-Israel protests?
They need to be put on the terrorist list. These folks are ludicrous. These folks are crazy out of their mind. They're attacking the police officer. You know, this is a perfect example, clear example of an insurrection.
Well said. And Black Conservative, I want you to hold on. Just hold tight for a second, but we're going to have to leave it there. So don't hang up on Black Conservative. I want to talk to him off air. But folks, there you go. I love this idea. Let's put all of these radicalized college students on the no-fly list and the terrorist watch list. It's very simple. All right, coming up, we're going to break down what happened last night at the U.S. Senate. Also, a city council person is blasting the parents of demon children. You're gonna want to stick around for that. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of The Big Show coming up.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Wow. We have got a great lineup coming your way, everybody. We're going to be checking in with Team Trump in just a little while. Also, Vicky Palladino, who's a member of the New York City Council. And she's going to weigh in on the very latest over at Columbia University and NYU with these rabid Hamas terrorists. Also, a little bit later, this is going to be fun. There's a brand new movie coming out called Unsung Hero, and the movie producer is going to join us. You may know him very well. His name is Luke Smallbone, and he is from the amazing, amazing band King and Country. So Luke Smallbone going to be here in just a little while. UnsungHero.movie is the website there. So stick around. It's going to be a fun couple of hours. Also tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, we're going to have a great, great conversation on Newsmax TV. Speaking of that, last night I got to visit with our good buddy Bill O'Reilly, and he was very kind, and we had a lot of fun going back and forth yesterday on Trump and his religion. So you got to go check that out over at BillO'Reilly.com. That's BillO'Reilly.com. Keep it pithy, ladies and gentlemen. All right. This is a fascinating development involving our Speaker of the House, who is on his way to Columbia University. He will be holding some sort of a press conference at Columbia. The entire university under siege right now. But Speaker Johnson is under fire as well. So last night, our good buddy Dinesh D'Souza shared this story from Congressman Thomas Massie. Now, Thomas Massie shared some video just the other day, and you might remember this scene. There was, just after the vote to give Gaza, to give Hamas and Ukraine funding, all of a sudden, the Democrats pulled out Ukrainian flags, and they started waving the Ukrainian flags, and they started chanting, Ukraine, Ukraine. These people desecrated the House chamber with this sort of behavior. I don't seem to recall any time in American history, at least modern American history, when our elected leaders pulled out American flags and waved American flags on the floor of the House of Representatives. Do you? I don't remember that. Anyway, so Massie shared this photo or this video on social media, and people are just rightfully enraged over this. So Congressman Massie now says that Speaker Johnson threatened him. And told, and again, this all coming from the speaker through the sergeant at arms, and telling Massie, if you don't take down that video, we are going to fine you. That's what they threatened. And it was a $500 fine. And if Massie did not remove the video. So basically, you've got Mike Johnson wanting to whitewash the fact that Democrats, and by the way, Mike Johnson gave this. I mean, he could have immediately stopped this, and he did not. So in my mind, Mike Johnson is just as guilty as those Democrats. So instead of punishing the Democrats for breaking House rules, what is Speaker Johnson doing? He's going after a member of his own party who is alerting the rest of the country, hey, you've got a lot of people that you elected office, and they're representing Ukraine and not you. So I reached out to Thomas Massie, and he's been a guest on this program before, and I told the congressman, hey, look, don't take down that video. Do not take down that video. And I said, if you get fined, you send me the bill, and I will personally pay for whatever fines are levied. And then just a little while ago, we got word that Speaker Johnson said, oopsie, my bad. oops, didn't mean to do that. So you don't have to, you're not going to be in trouble. You know why? Because I love you and you love me. And we're all just going to join hands and sing Kumbaya. So the speaker has now backtracked and he will not have to pay a fine. But anyway, I told the congressman, no matter what, let me know. Happy to pay the fine for you. But please do not take down that video. Unbelievable, this guy. I just, you know, what was it? Who do we have on yesterday? Andrew Klein from the congressman from North Georgia. And he said, I don't know this guy. I've been in Congress with him for years, served on the House Judiciary with this guy for years. And I don't know who this guy is anymore. Well, we just all want to get along now and sing Kumbaya. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Oh, I want to play some audio for you. This is going to drive you nuts. It's a little long, but it's worth it. So we played a snippet of this a few days ago. And this is from CBS News. And this is important because CBS News, I'm not sure what their angle on all of this is, but they did an in-depth news story on how Ukrainian bars and restaurants and nightclubs are really taking off in the middle of what is supposed to be some sort of a catastrophic war. And I continue to ask the question, where is all the footage? Where is the hand-to-hand combat? Where is the fighting? But anyway, this doesn't have any of that, but it certainly has a lot of video of people partying up and drinking whatever they drink over there. Cut number 11.
We welcome you back to CBS Mornings. As the war rages in Ukraine and cities are pounded by the Russian missiles, you may be surprised to learn that the nightlife in the country, well, it's thriving. The bars, the clubs, and the restaurants, they are all packed. Charlie Daggett met up with customers and business owners to find out why the partying has not stopped in Ukraine.
A summer's evening. A sidewalk cafe. Smiling friends. It could be anywhere. Except it's not anywhere. Kharkiv is not far from the Russian border and within easy reach of missiles and airstrikes. And while many buildings remain boarded up, the remote yet real possibility of dying hasn't stopped its residents from living. Like 20-year-old student George Soldatenko and his friends Nikolai and Andrei.
Sometimes rockets really just boom, boom at night, and that could be scary. But you know, in the morning when you wake up, you're trying just trying to have a good morning, your routine, and that's all.
Despite the rockets, Ukraine's nightlife is rocking. The bars and clubs are full. The place is jumping, music pumping, drinks flow freely, and they dance like there's no tomorrow. And it's not just here. Fun fact, there are now more bars and restaurants in the capital than before the start of the invasion. An act of defiance, sometimes, when they have to pick up the pieces and figure out how or if to carry on.
This is what's left of an apartment block and a basement bar turned bomb shelter. It took a direct hit in the early days of the war, killing and wounding those inside.
This is, or was, the Hemingway Bar, as in the legendary war author Ernest Hemingway. A grim irony. Undeterred, they reopened a few blocks away as soon as they could. Enthusiastic owner Konstantin Kutz tells us.
After that happened, did you think, no, we can't do this anymore?
I had mixed feelings because...
So now you get a little idea of what's really going on in Ukraine. This is what your $61 billion is really going to fund. Bars and restaurants and nightclubs. Your money is being used to take care of many, many very powerful people in Ukraine. But again, I still want to see the images. Where is this war that is raging right now in Ukraine? Where are the pictures? Where is the video? And anytime anybody asks those questions, well, they call you some sort of a war denier. Well, okay. Yo, you're just a Putin puppet. How dare you ask to see video footage of the war? Who do you think you are? You better just believe what we tell you. Well, you know what? I don't do that. Yeah, I'm not that kind of a person. I want to see for myself. But that's where we are right now, ladies and gentlemen. I want to play some audio. This is from New York University, a professor who is Jewish, by the way. His name is Scott Galloway. I guarantee you this guy's a liberal. Guarantee it. But I'm wondering if what's happening in his city right now, what's happening on his university campus, will give him pause to understand that the Democrats really do hate the Jews. Cut number 9.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protests. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU Square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech, as long as it's against Jews.
And we're not just talking about the exercising of free speech and protest, which we agree people have, and there are spaces on campus for that. It's what they're saying is the harassment of Jewish students. So what is that? Why is there that double standard? Because, of course, you're right. You don't even have to say it out loud. If these things were being said about black people or gay people or Latinos or Asian or anybody else, forget it. Shut down the school. Everybody's expelled. Why is there still that double standard?
I think it's complicated. I think, one, young people have a healthy gag reflex on what people our age think. And I think that's healthy. Two, I don't think Israel has draped itself in glory over the last 20 or 30 years. They've shifted from being kind of a David to the Goliath. I also think that incorrectly students on campus conflate the civil rights movement with what is going on in Palestine and have digressed, unfortunately, because of an orthodoxy promoted by me and my colleagues that there are oppressors and oppressed. And the easiest way to identify oppressors is how white and how rich they are, or fairly or unfairly, Israel is seen as ground zero for whiteness and how wealthy they are. And then what might sound paranoid, but doesn't mean I'm wrong. I think we are being manipulated, specifically youth, through their frame for the world is TikTok. And if you look at TikTok, there are 52 videos that are pro-Hamas or pro-Palestinian for every one served on Israel. I think that we are being manipulated. I think Americans are easier to fool than convince they've been fooled. But if I were the CCP, I'd be doing exactly the same thing.
There you go. And that's from a liberal professor at NYU who happens to be Jewish. And he's right. If anybody else, if a bunch of people went out there and you marched around campus wearing hoods and white bedsheets, you'd be thrown in jail. Oh, by the way, President Biden speaking at this moment, and he told the crowd that he commuted every day for 36 years over the now collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Here's the problem with that, folks. When Biden commuted, he took the Amtrak train. He hopped on the train in Wilmington and took it into Washington, D.C. There are no rail lines over the Francis Scott Key Bridge. He's making all this up. It's just simply not true. All right, I got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Running a poll over on our live show blog. Would love for you to go and cast your vote. Would President Trump, will you be more inclined to vote for him or less inclined to vote for him if the judge throws him in jail? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years.
Wow.
Four more years.
Imagine what we want. Four more years. Terrible. This is President Biden just a little while ago. Also, let's listen. Do we have some other audio from this? All right, let's play that.
Most significant investments in climate ever. The work that you risked your life doing, lots of it.
Wait, what? What did he say? Can you play that again? What?
It was the climate ever. The work that you risked your life doing, lots of it.
Oh? All right. Interesting. He also threatened to punch President Trump. So this is insane. Biden's not doing well. You know, they're trying to get him out on the campaign trail as much as possible to show that he's on the campaign trail while Trump is being forced by this judge to sit in this courtroom and endure Lord knows what. So anyway, Biden not doing well today, everybody. It's really unfortunate. All right, I want to play some audio. This is Senator Mike Lee from Utah. Last night, only 18 senators voted against the Johnson-Schumer-Biden deal, this foreign aid package. Senator Mike Lee, cut number six.
An amendment might point to some of the weaknesses in the bill, some of the defects of the bill. It might prompt members to, I don't know, slow down and ask whether this is a prudent idea to send a lot of humanitarian aid to Gaza, up to $9.5 billion of it that could go there, with minimal guardrails, where Hamas will with certainty seize it to wage war against Israel. Or if the U.S. taxpayer should be footing the bill for quote-unquote gender advisors in Ukraine's military. Should they really vote for a bill that does this?
Well, it's a great question. Unfortunately, they did. Proud to say my two senators bravely stood with the American people, Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty, and they stood against this nonsense, voted it down. So I say thank you to those two. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, I'm so excited that I joined AMAC, and they're doing some really incredible stuff. And people of all ages, it doesn't matter how old you are, 18 years old, you can join AMAC. And they are launching a huge effort to fight back and save America. And I love what they're doing. Go to their website. They have a special website just for listeners of the Todd Starnes Show, amac.us/Starnes. That's amac.us/Starnes. Now, get this. You can become a four-year member for just $30. I mean, that's phenomenal. AMAC is not only better for America, but it's better for you. And the reason why is you get free access to the AMAC magazine. You're going to get free Social Security and Medicare guidance, and you're also going to get some pretty incredible money-saving discounts, restaurants, hotels, you name it. They have so many great discounts and lots of sweepstakes and so much more. So be sure to check them out, amac.us/Starnes, and they're going to have a lot of intel information for you there on the website. All right, coming up, we're going to be checking in with Team Trump to get the very latest on the judicial warfare that's been waged against the former president. Also, the Pennsylvania primary last night. A lot of people surprised by Nikki Haley pulling in numbers. Not all that terribly surprising, and I don't think it's going to matter a hill of beans. Also, we're going to be checking in with Vicky Palladino from the New York City Council. She represents Queens, and she's got some things to say about these Hamas protesters over at Columbia University. All right, we've got to take a quick break, folks. In the meantime, head over to our website. You can vote in our online poll in the live show blog. You can also download our free podcast as well as our free newsletter. It comes out every day, and we provide you with stories that you will not find in the mainstream media, including one Ben Dieter's writing a piece, and you're going to want to read that as well. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. So I want to go back to this speech of President Biden speaking to union guys, and I want you to listen very closely to what the president said.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter? For the last time, anything you put on that prompter, Burgundy will read.
It's true, and so will Joe Biden. He read the word pause. All right, you can't make this stuff up. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Mahek Cook, who is a part of Team Trump. Mahek, good to have you with us today.
Pause. No, I'm just kidding. Well, Todd, good to be with you.
It's unbelievable. Wow. So there's so much to talk about. And, of course, the Trump trial underway. And it looks as though the judge is going to make a decision very soon whether or not to hold President Trump in contempt. I'm just curious, how are you guys in the polling that you guys are looking at? How is this playing among the general public?
Todd, that's a great question. The general public is looking at this as truly a weaponization of our justice system, because if this can happen to the top GOP contender, President Trump, then it can happen to anybody, right? So as the left and these district attorneys continue to weaponize the legal system against President Trump, he continues to surge in polls. We're just now seeing new polling again out of these swing states. 6 out of 7, President Trump is continuing to surge. And part of it is because of his legacy, right? He was so strong in immigration. He was so strong on our border, national security, foreign affairs, economy. And you add that with what's happening in these trials, it's backfiring on these Democrats.
Yeah, no, I think it is. It's every time they do this, and we've used this illustration before, but the president is the roadrunner and these Democrats are Wile E. Coyote. And every time they try to thwart President Trump, you know, a giant Acme anvil falls on their heads.
You're 100% right. What this judge should do in New York, if he had any conscience and believed that he is an impartial justice, a judge, is to ensure that he steps back and say, look, this gag order shouldn't have been in place. I'm going to pull it. And if I decide to reinstate it, then Michael Cohen is gagged, Stormy Daniels is gagged. All of these cast of characters are gagged from speaking to the media. But if he's not going to do that, then President Trump, under the First Amendment, he has the First Amendment right, free speech, to be able to speak to the American people. We want to hear directly from him. It's our First Amendment right to do so.
Meanwhile, you have all over New York City, you have these violent protests. There are people literally calling for the execution of Jews. They're marching in the streets with these flares, tiki torch type flares. And yet the mainstream media has given President Biden a complete pass on all of this.
Well, the mainstream media has given a pass because they have a bias. They are pro-Hamas. There's no secret about it. They may not say they're pro-Hamas in a headline, but they're going to continue to give Biden a pass. Biden is going to hide and state things like, I support Israel, but we also have to understand what's happening in Palestine. You know what that tells students? That tells these students it's okay to protest, which First Amendment allows, but also incite violence, also hurt a student who was a journalist on Columbia University with a flag in her eye. I mean, this is despicable to incite violence. This is the same left that was going after Republicans for insurrection. What's happening on campus is insurrection. This is an overthrow of our educational institutions, which, by the way, many of them get federal funding, and we should pause that immediately, Todd.
I'm with you 1,000%. And, of course, the House of Representatives actually has that power. The question is, will Speaker Johnson do that? How's the relationship between those two, President Trump and Mike Johnson?
Look, I think everybody saw this. President Trump stood next to Mike Johnson, and they talked about a path forward. And the most important pressing issue in our country next to inflation is immigration. And President Johnson stood up there in front of the American people and pledged that he was going to push for a universal law that makes sure that every single individual that is voting is a U.S. citizen. While we have that law, most states, I would say no state, is checking when you go and you try and vote in an election. Generally, in the state of Ohio, I can just give my driver's license. Now, illegals have licenses. They have tons of documentation. Just look at New York City. So we cannot allow illegals to vote in our system. And President Johnson stood with President Trump. So right now, I think the relationship is fine. It's great. We need to move forward. We need to make sure that we're continuing to aid the countries that we have said that are our allies and forge that path forward. But I'll say, immigration is going to be key for President Trump. And so far, Speaker Johnson has said he's standing by him. So let's see what happens with this universal law. We need every state to implement it. Only U.S. citizens should be able to vote in elections.
And I think, honestly, you know, we've got to stay focused on the big prize, which is retaking the White House. That has to happen. I hope the Republicans get their act together in the Congress. But ultimately, we need to be focusing on getting President Trump reelected.
100%. And I think that when we have these spectacles in Congress, it truly takes away the attention and focus of the good work that hardworking Republicans like President Trump are doing. As President Trump is fighting in the legal system, unable to leave the courtroom in New York, which is unheard of, by the way. You have a juror with a toothache that can dismiss the case early, but the president can't go for his son's graduation. The president can't go campaign. When you have a man like this fighting for our country, then we need to get behind him and fight 100% in a unified way. What's happening in Congress today is not the way that we run our party. The infighting, the attacks on Speaker Johnson, we have to unify. We need a path forward. All attention should be on this election, Todd. You're 100% right.
All right. Well, Mahek, we're going to leave it there. Good having you on the program today, and good luck out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you so much.
All right. Mahek Cook, everybody, a surrogate for the Trump campaign. And we'll keep you updated on any developments coming out of the courthouse. So far, it has been a fairly quiet day out there. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here for you. It's a little bit long, but you need to hear this. Very rarely do you hear a Democrat city council person telling it like it is with the crime issue. And there is a city councilwoman here in Memphis, Tennessee, and her name is Yolanda Cooper Sutton, and she's a leftist, no doubt about it. But she's also a realist, and she's got a pretty healthy dose of common sense. And so instead of addressing the crime problem, the councilwoman says and is accusing the mayor and other elected leaders of just trying to throw money at a problem. And I want you to hear this woman. She delivered a speech last night at the city council meeting, and she tore them a new one. Cut number one.
First of all, I want to thank the MD police and all the efforts that you do when you're out in these streets with these kids that's on demon time. First of all, when you get notes like this from children and the parents, and no, you may not like me, the constituents, or whoever, until these parents are held accountable and have some type of accountability for these children. These programs are here, but what we're doing is we see a broken system that's been in Memphis long before this here starts happening. Guns are everywhere, and the parents are protecting their children with these guns because they still running on demon time. And you want to send our officers and all these other good people out here to try to do these jobs, and the ammunition and the weapons they got is more high powerful than what the police officers have. We know our children and we know what they're doing. Hold these parents accountable. It is not the police department to babysit our children. There is a flyer going out right now that something's supposed to be going on. And you mean to tell me that nobody on this flyer can identify, put it on TV and identify who their children are on these flyers? And most of the children that are committing these crimes look like me. Hold the parents accountable. The police department is not their babysitting. They apprehend, they come to the scene after the fact, after they get the call. Here we go again, down this same meeting that I had the last time, pointing the fingers. They can't do their job because y'all want them to babysit. If these programs are out here and we are funding them, it's up to us to figure out where the money is being spent and what programs are working. 901 Block, I appreciate the work that they're doing. I've worked very closely with them in the streets before I'm a county council person. And they out here got these, they're working hard. And these children are do not mind dying because they're on, I'm going to say it again, demon time. And all you Christian folks that go to church,
know what a freaking demon is. It's diabolical. The music, the parents are upholding it. This little baby here wrote a letter. You know what she said? This is what this child said. I am not good today. I didn't have a good day. I want to go outside. I feel like everything is happening. And I can't have fun. No one seems to want to help us. I just want to grow up. You understand me? And the only thing we want to do is point the finger because we got personal issues with somebody. I'm sick of it. This is tiresome. Police officer is dead. Another officer is dead. Four-year-old children are dying. Hold the parents accountable. You got 109. Did he say 109? Let me see your thing, because I think you wrote it down. Yours closer. 109 out of 134. Light them up. Lock them up. They don't want the help. They refuse the help. We are trying. And what you don't want is the DOJ to come in here and take over and decree a list. That's what happened in Baltimore. You're talking about every other city is decreasing. Understand why they're decreasing. Because the DOJ took over their police department and decreed some things to take place. Okay, well, maybe not. Maybe that's not what happened, Smiley. But I'm just saying, I'm tired. And I'm not here to argue with you. This is not the time. We got to get our city in a good place. And this and the parents and all this stuff that's going on, it's a broken system, and it's been a broken system. And all you that's partners and clicking up together and riding along together, you ain't done a damn thing to get it right. And I'll put a quarter in the jar later, Lord.
She cussed.
Now, thank you. But the ones that don't want to help, lock them up. It is not for them to babysit them. All these ankle bracelets and these children out past curfew and everybody defend them. Lock the parents up too. You want to defend them? Lock them up. It's tiresome. And we cannot continue the way we're going. So I want to thank each and every one of you for doing your job. Thank you, Jimmy, for even trying to report. Thank you, 901. But you're dealing with some demons and they ain't playing. Now, how you going to fight that?
I yield
the floor, Councilwoman White.
Lordy, lordy. All right. Wow. There you go. She said, lock them up. Let me tell you something. You are about to see a major American city completely come unraveled. You are about to see a major American city. And keep in mind, Memphis has a population of over 600,000 people. About to become completely unraveled. We are in a death spiral here. And that's what you heard in this woman's voice. This is an elected city council person. By the way, she got elected. She was doing an interview about a year or so ago. You might remember this. She was doing an interview, and in the middle of the interview, there was a drive-by shooting, and the reporter was terrified, and she just kept her full composure because this is normal life here. And she was like, Lord Jesus, she was praying over the reporter as the people were shooting each other in the background. Some people said, Todd, what is demon time? I've never heard of it. So demon time is actually a phrase, and it refers to all of the activity that takes place after 10 o'clock at night. That is demon time. It also means something else. It also means somebody, when they feel like they can do anything, without any repercussions. But here in this city, and I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about that? Is it time to start holding the parents accountable? I mean, if you're a mom or a dad and your child has an arsenal in their bedroom and you allow them to go out and take part in all this activity, shouldn't they be held accountable too? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back. good to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines. Keith in Jackson, Tennessee, WTJS, our great affiliate there. Hi, Keith. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I think President Trump needs to hurry up, pick him a good vice presidential candidate, and let them campaign for him while he is trapped in court for the next couple of months. You know, every day he don't have a VP candidate is a day of campaigning. He ain't getting out there.
Oh, so well, there you go. There's been a lot of talk about that. Who should President Trump pick? Keith, do you have any suggestions? Who would you like to see as the running mate?
No, I got a couple, but, you know, it's, you know, of course, his choice, but it just needs to be somebody they can get out there to campaign for him, because he's not going to be allowed to campaign per the judge.
Well, no doubt about that. I mean, it's true. I mean, you're right, and that is a good idea. I think there are certainly some really good surrogates out there, but if you've got people that are part of the team, what I would like to see, Keith, is not only a VP, but just present the whole slate. Here's who I want for my Secretary of State, and so on and so forth.
And I can say the VP will be on the ticket, so they're campaigning for themselves and for Trump at the same time. And I'm just not sure why he hasn't picked anyone yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a time and a season for all of this, Keith. And I think if you do it too soon, it might take up, you know, some of the punch out of it. So that could be one reason why.
He needs to be punching now, though, because he's in court. You know.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. No. I hear you. I understand exactly what you're talking about. So. We'll see how things go here. We've got a long way. It's going to be a long road, Keith, and there are going to be more things happening. You know, they're coming after this president with everything they've got. The question is, you know, are we willing to stand alongside of him? The answer to that is yes, at least here on this radio program.
And concerning your last thing about Memphis, I'm 90 miles from Memphis, and I hadn't been there in 4 years. Don't plan on going anytime soon.
Yeah, I know a lot of you folks, a lot of folks feel the same way, Keith. Got to run, my friend, and you be safe out there. Maybe I'll run into you at the brand-new Bucky's they're building. That'll be a nice little place. Nice pit stop between here and Jackson. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us. And I want to go right to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend from the New York City Council. Man, she is like a conservative goddess. Is that appropriate? I don't know, but she's a warrior. Vicky Palladino from the New York City Council on the Newsmaker line today. Hey, Vicky, how are you doing?
I'm great, Todd. Thanks for that wonderful introduction. It's great. Thank you.
I don't know why somebody didn't pick up the phone and say, we need Palladino down here at Columbia U, and I guarantee you those kids will be running for the hills.
If only it was that easy, Todd. They're so organized and so put together. You know, it's a disgrace, an absolute disgrace. It's spilled over now into NYU, and we're in a real, this is a disgusting anti-American, you know, starts with the anti-Israel, but believe me, this is anti-American. This is tear down the Western civilization as we know it. These are terrorists in every sense of the word. And Columbia and its liberalism and what they've been preaching over the last two decades at least, they are reaping what they have sown. And we are not about to take it, period.
I'm curious about the environment there, and because it seems as though the NYPD went in and really took care of business at NYU, but they're being told, my understanding is, they're not even being allowed onto the property at Columbia. Is that right?
That is correct. That is because Columbia is private. That is private property. But whatever transpires outside the perimeter of Columbia University definitely falls into the NYPD's jurisdiction. Yes, most definitely.
So what is it that can be done here? I mean, these kids are, we call them Hamas terrorists. I mean, that's who they are. They're Hamas.
That's correct. And these are, you know, this is not the 1960s, you know, peace, love, and anti-Vietnam War people, okay? These are terrorist cells that we are allowing to grow inside of our city, all right? It's going to go nationwide. This is going to be a really bad summer. And anybody who thinks otherwise is mistaken. You know, they are learning and they are seeing with their own two eyes, hands, fists, bottles getting thrown. There's no consequences. Nobody's getting, there's nothing. They get arrested. They get tied, you know, those, what do they call, wire ties, and they're taken off. And then what do? They're back like in an hour or two. They are blatantly attacking our police. Last night was an absolute disgrace. And our police should be allowed to retaliate. You know, you attack a police officer, a gaggle of these people, violent people attacking our cops. You know what? The cops have got, do they own guns? Are they allowed to carry guns? Sure they are. Do they have battalions? Sure they do. Are they allowed to hit them on the head with them? Why not? I mean, it's all out war. This is war. And under no circumstances should anybody think otherwise.
I'm with you. And I think those of us, you know, that live outside of New York City, and I lived in Brooklyn for, you know, almost 15 years, so I get it. It's really something when you see these mobs of people just coming at you on the streets. And you wonder, have their hands been tied? Are the police actually allowed to do the job they need to do? Because, Vicki, I have to imagine the average New Yorker is pretty enraged by what's going down.
Oh, you bet. Because it's not hundreds, it's thousands. These are the same people that shut down our bridges. They shut down our roadways. They have made it very, very clear, very clear. One of them have even said, a Columbia student even said, with a hammer and a sickle, glory to the infidel in her bio. There's no fear amongst these students. They don't care about arrest. They don't care about administration. They don't care about anything, any meaningful consequences. They just feel that they are in control. And they probably are, to tell you the truth, because where is the retaliation from the other side? Okay, our cops, I don't want to say our cops' hands are tied because I don't want to step on anybody's. They're doing the best they can. But you know what? There's a whole lot more that can be done here. A whole lot more that can be done. And where's the riot gear? Where's the riot gear? A cop should be in riot gear. But the biggest thing of all that we've got to understand is that this is starts out small. Okay, it was Hamas against Gaza, and it was all about, you know, the protesting against Israel and all of that. It spun out into anti-American. It has been, you know, these people just as soon take down the statue of George Washington. They don't care about Western civilization. Their main goal is to tear this country apart. This is so well funded. I ask you, where is the FBI? Where? Okay, these groups are coordinated nationally. They're well funded. Who's funding these people? Who's funding them?
Are there any Democrats on the council that are understanding how significant this is and that this is really not a political issue here? We're dealing with life or death. We're dealing with terrorism on American soil.
I believe some of them do, sure, yes. But not to the extent that I'm speaking to you right now, no.
Yeah.
I don't believe there are many Democrats who feel that way. You know, like I started off saying, this is not the kumbaya, you know, peace, love, and war. No, this is make war. This is declaring war. This is, like I said, these are terrorists on American soil. And these kids, young people, are being funded. Funded by who? This is organized. This is well organized, and it's playing out.
Yeah, Vicky, let me jump in here. To your point, I brought this up in the first hour of today's show, that the tent cities, these look like brand new tents, and you know those are $40, $50, $60, and they all look brand new. They're all sort of the same look, the same make, model, and it certainly does look like somebody just went out there and bought, you know, I don't know, a factory full of these tents. To your point,
sure.
Who's paying for all of this and where are they getting all this stuff?
Right. And where are they getting all of it? You know, look, one of them, you know, let's go back to the George Floyd days of New York in 2020 when these people ran ramshackle over our city. That, too, was very organized when they burnt down buildings and they put people out of business. They were beating up our cops. There's no regard because there's no consequences, none at all. And, you know, the president of Columbia University, you resign. And the parents, they're all going now remote. Parents should demand their money back, okay? They want they pay big, big money for these fancy Ivy League colleges that are breeding this in the schools. It's starts young, and it goes into the universities. They are reaping what they have sowed for decades, and now it's all on us. What do we plan to do about this? How much more are we going to allow these people to get away with? This is just the beginning, okay? And I personally say, let them burn. If Columbia wants this, let them burn. I don't really care. They have reaped what they have sown. And I am just sick of hearing abolish the police, abolish this, abolish that. This is like, what are we, Portland, Oregon? Okay, or Seattle, Washington? They set up these zones and they actually have the gall to say, you're not allowed in here. They tried to do it at one of the parks downtown, the name is slipping my mind. It started about 2 weeks ago when they started an autonomous zone. And I said, you watch what happens from this. You watch, because that was small. If we don't knock this down now and we don't get this into control now, this was about 2 weeks ago, you watch what happens. And one of these protesters has said, October 7th, every day will be October 7th. One of them even said martyrdom. So now we got to worry about people strapping bombs to their back in the name of Hamas or in the name of anti-America. Anything we got to worry about these type people? Because that's what we've got now.
It just seems to me. It just seems to me. And again, back in my old Brooklyn neighborhood, down on off of Carroll Street where I lived, I was at 4th and Carroll. But if you go down a couple of blocks, they have the good old-fashioned Italian Friends Club. Vicki, I think we need to make some calls, and I think we could probably take care of this. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, here's the other thing. You know, to your point, Todd, this is a situation that can be locked down and
yes.
done with.
Yes.
We can. There is no such – we could have done it in 2020 if the cops were allowed to do their job. And speaking to police officers back in 2020, and I was not in office of any kind at that point, whenever I spoke to my police officers at high ranking, you know, they told me, Vicki, you know, if de Blasio let us do our job, we could really have this done in a week. We could clean this all up in a week. But no, it didn't happen that way. So you've got our top brass. Our top brass, who are, you know, telling the police officers to do their job, but yet they're not. They're doing their job with one arm tied behind their back. It's a disgrace when you see these people go face to face with our police officers and spit in their faces and throwing bottles and chairs last night and setting flags on fire. What the hell's going on, Todd? Really, what's going on? What's the expression about they're running the asylum? Okay, we got the insane running the asylum. This is what's happening right now. And the cops, we've got to get a lockdown on this. Let Colombia do whatever they want to do inside of their own parameters. I really don't care. But when it spills out onto the streets of New York, okay, and let me just say this. Three of my council members that belong to the Progressive Caucus had that black and white garb on and took pictures with Hamas. And yet they are elected officials in the city of New York who sit in chambers with me. Where's the retaliation against them?
It's a great question.
Death to Israel. Death to America. All right? They want to. They just don't want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy the West in general.
That's
it. And this rhetoric has been disgusting, and glorifying October 7th is very threatening here.
Vicki, I hope people understand, because we're coming up on a break here, but I hope people understand and listen to the passion and the frustration and the anger and the righteous indignation in your voice, because this is coming to every city in America. It's already there. It's just a matter of these sleeper cells being activated, and they've already been activated at NYU and Columbia.
And Yale.
And Yale. And MIT.
Yep.
All right.
So let me tell you, this is going across the country, everybody. Pay very close attention, because this is a very bad thing. Death to America.
Vicki, God bless you. Stay safe, and we'll check back in. All right.
Thank you, dear. All right. Thank
you. Got it.
Bye-bye.
All right. I like Vicki Palladino. She's good people. And, folks, I'm telling you, the police are being told not to do their jobs. That's what's going on here. But I like the idea. We had a couple of callers in the last hour say that what we need to do here is very simple. All we need to do is put every single one of these students on the terrorist watch list and the no-fly list. That's it. That's what we need to do. And then start arresting people. Do we still have Gitmo? Maybe we should just ship them all down to Gitmo. But I'm telling you right now, you are looking at the birthing of sleeper cells in America. That's what's going on here. They are literally chanting, kill the Zionist. Kill all Zionists. Long live Hamas. That's what they're literally chanting in New York City right now. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. How do you deal with this, ladies and gentlemen? What do you do? You're the governor of New York. How do you deal with Columbia University? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Hey, coming up, by the way, Luke Smallbone from King & Country. Great, great music band. Looking forward to that conversation. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, let me ask you a question. How are you doing on your streaming services? If you haven't downloaded Newsmax Plus, what are you waiting for? It is the fastest growing streaming service in America. And one of the main reasons you need to get Newsmax Plus is you'll be able to watch me, Todd Stearns, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. When you download the Newsmax Plus app, you're going to be able to watch the Newsmax channel, Newsmax 2. You're going to be able to watch all the big Trump rallies. We never censor Trump like the other networks do. And you can start your free trial today. Costs nothing to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com. That's NewsmaxPlus.com to register. And then you can download the app and start watching. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. And you can do that right now. Let's go to North Carolina. Chris, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, Chris. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Thank you very much for taking my call. I was just listening to the lady before, and boy, I like the way she sounded. But there's a couple points that I don't agree with. First of all, the police, you know, you just said the police are not been able to do their job. It's sort of like the Republicans are not been able to do their job. So they need to decide. They took an oath to protect the people. If they're not going to protect the people, they need to get out of the police force. Our government officials, the Republican, Jim Jordan, all of such good guys, if they're not going to do something about this stuff, they need to get out and quit getting their checks every month. This stuff's not going to stop if we can say, well, the government's telling police officers they can't do the job. What kind of man, if you go to work, Because somebody just said, oh, you don't do your job today, and you say, okay. I don't understand that.
No, well, I understand where the police are in this. I mean, they're being told what to do, and they have to follow orders. Chris?
To go home. Go home. They're here to protect the public. If you're not going to protect the public, you need to go home.
But let me ask you this. So if your sergeant is out there, or the incident commander, and they're saying you stand down, do you disobey the orders and go in with guns a-blazing?
Sir, if someone is in danger, I'm going to help them. Well, I thought that's what we were supposed to do. What has it got to do if they tell you don't help? Oh, so Todd, don't help them. You're just not going to do it.
Well, I'm not a member of the police department. I'm just saying, if your boss at work, tells you do not do X, Y, or Z, and you do X, Y, or Z, there's usually going to be a price to pay for that.
And that's fine. Jesus died on the cross. He paid that price. So we don't have to pay a price for something? So in other words, sometime in life, you're going to have to stand up for what's right and wrong. And I hear you all the time, these guys that call in on your radio station, Jim Jordan. I pick him because he's the only man that could have turned around, and he don't want it because of what's coming his way. But they all need to quit getting these paychecks and go home.
All right. Well, Chris, look, we've got to run for a break. Folks, Chris says cops need to disobey their commanders and go in and take care of business. Do you agree or disagree? 901-260-5926. That is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Agree, disagree? Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Okay, stay close. Let's go.
How y'all doing?
Are y'all from England?
Australia. Australia. Wish I had an accent.
Dad, I wrote a song. Thought maybe we could ask for an audition.
Oh, that's great, honey. Let's take it one step at a time. Kay tells me you're a promoter. You know someone looking for one? Well, I may know somebody who should be.
She's been given a beautiful voice. It's a miracle.
She's a special one, son. Your family, they're not in the way. They are the way.
There's no food. We're almost out of money. We need to make some changes. Kids, we need your help. This is everything we have. And sometimes it's going to grow, and sometimes it will shrink. But it cannot be allowed to disappear. I wonder if he's right. Maybe I'm not meant to sing. Or maybe you're not meant to sing other people's songs. It's going to be dangerous and scary. And giving up, giving in, it's not an option. Whatever your dream is, I know you can achieve it.
Please welcome my big sister.
My dream is to be like you. It always has been.
Wow. It is just an absolutely powerful movie, and you can watch the trailer over at ToddStearns.com on our live show blog today. The name of the film, Unsung Hero, and it is a powerful story and one that is really going to, I think it's going to impact a lot of people's lives. It tells the story of David Smallbone and his family moving from Australia to the United States. They had nothing more than their six kids and their suitcases and their love of music. And now the family, one of the top musical families in America. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is our good friend Luke Smallbone from the incredible band King and Country. He is the movie producer. And Luke, it's great to have you with us. Congratulations on the new movie.
Man, Todd, so good to hear your voice, man. What a privilege it is. So thanks for taking the time. We go a long ways back, so I'm grateful for this conversation.
We go right back to almost the beginning. And, of course, I went to church, the same church that you guys went to back in the day in the Nashville area. And I'm just excited to see the backstory and how God brought you guys to the United States and then just really unleashed this incredible story.
Yeah, no, you said it. Came from Australia when we were young kids, and I won't go into too much more of it because you did a great job explaining it. But when we arrived here in Nashville, we didn't have anything. We were sleeping on beds made out of clothes. Didn't have any way for our little sister to be born in a hospital. Weren't always quite sure where the next meal was going to come from. Didn't have a car. And for the most part, the film story I have told from the stage for the last 11 or 12 years, and I had so many people come up and say, man, Luke, you guys should write a book. And, you know, the truth is Joel and I were homeschooled, and so writing a book just sounds hard, all right? And so we thought maybe we could make a movie instead. And the hobby behind it really is this. I believe in the power of family. I think that family is more powerful today than it ever has been in the history of the world, but we don't quite value it as we should. And I think for so many people, we're always asking ourselves, I want to change the world. I want my life to count for something. And I think Mother Teresa says it best, where she says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.
That's it. And, you know, not to make it political, but Ronald Reagan said that American greatness doesn't start in Washington. It starts around the dinner table. It starts in the families of American homes. So I think you're absolutely right about that. You know, Luke, I want to talk about watching the film as a family. Has the whole family seen the movie?
Yeah, they have. Yeah, you're right.
And what's been that reaction, watching your life being played out on the big screen like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's particularly interesting for mom and dad because, you know, obviously Joel and I are depicted in the film, but we're depicted as young kids, right? I was roughly five when we arrived here. Joel was seven, so we're pretty young. So most of the film is my dad's story, my mom's story, and our older sister's story. And I think, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me this question, you know, what is it like to have a film made about your life? And the truth is, you never think that a film is going to be made about your life when you're living it. You're just living your life. You're just doing the best that you can. And I think for mom and dad, I think it's been pretty emotional. My dad is in his 70s now. I don't think he's someone that you're going to find walking into to get any therapy anytime soon. So in some cases, what he walked through watching this film has been his therapy. He's reliving some of these things. And I think it's just been really impactful for him. It's been quite special, to be honest.
So the movie comes out April 26th, and folks, you can actually buy tickets right now on our live show blog. So go over to toddstearns.com and you can do that. And look, I have to apologize. I was at some of the Little Stearns' were at a track meet, and I have like allergies out the wazoo today. So the voice is coming and going. But you know that being in Tennessee. I am curious, though, about the message. And what is it that you want people to experience when they go into the theater, they're eating the popcorn, drinking their soda? Yeah. What do you want them to experience?
Yeah, I think I want America to get back to recognizing the power of family. I'll tell you a small story. We, you know, you probably had, you know, film people on your program before, and films are incredibly difficult. They're incredibly expensive. You've got about 72 hours to get these films for people to come out to theaters to see if Hollywood kind of honors it and stays in theaters. But if you were to rewind back a couple of years, we've got a rough cut of the film. And anytime you've got a rough version of a book or a rough version of a song, or in this case, a movie, it's pretty fragile. You got to be careful who you show it to because you obviously want there to be some momentum building around the art that you were creating. And so we had a rough cut of the film, and a good friend of mine who works on films a lot said, hey, I want to see this film. And just a little bit of peek back into this person. This person's not maybe the most joyful person I've ever met. Maybe some might call him slightly crusty. And I'm sitting there going, is this really the first person we want to see this movie? But because he works on films, we kind of need to see what we had. We need to see if this film is translating to people. And so because of that, we're like, hey, man, yeah, why don't you come and watch the film? And we need to get your feedback. And obviously, you're in the editing process. We could change some things, you know, whatever. So he watches the movie, and, you know, everybody has this feeling. When you watch a movie together at a theater, what's the first thing that you do when you're walking out that dark tunnel? You turn to that person next to you, and you say, what did you think? And so anyway, we watched the film, and we're walking out of the room, and I turned to him and I said, well, what did you think? And he kind of sat there for a minute. He wiped a tear from his eye, and he said, man, I want to be a better dad. I want to go home and be a better dad. And my hope is that people will, you know, for men who are fathers, they will go back and they will be more committed fathers. I hope for mothers out there in the world that they will see that the invisible hard work that they do is literally changing the course of generations. I hope that young kids, sons and daughters that see this, they'll see someone in my sister who had a dream when she was 14, got signed to a record deal at 15, and that you can dream up extraordinary things and do extraordinary things. It doesn't matter how young, doesn't matter how little. God has purpose for all of those things. So I think my hope is the infusion of the power of family in our society.
And when you look at society right now, I mean, at the root of everything that's going on, the chaos in our culture, I think it can be brought back to that one issue: is how strong is your family? You know, is that the most important thing in your life, or is it, you know, becoming a multimillionaire?
Absolutely. I mean, even just take this weekend as a snapshot, all right? This weekend, our film is going in theaters, and it's one of the first times in the history of filmmaking where a faith-based film is going out into theaters that actually has the opportunity to be the number one film in America. But the film that it's up against is a raunchy, rated R film that's out there. And so we're always up against the moral compass of society, I think, starts with the family. And at the end of the day, I believe in the power of family. That's essentially what America was built on, with families gathering around, as you said, at that kitchen table and discussing things and talking about the highs and the lows of life. That's what builds and infuses the power of family.
You know, when I was leaving New York City and I was talking to a very well-known minister, a great man of God, and he said, "So what are your plans?" I said, "Well, I'm moving back home to Memphis." He goes, "Why would you want to move to Memphis?" And I said, "That's where my family is, you know, and that's, you know, it doesn't matter where you live, you know, where your family is, that's where your home is." And I love that about the message in this movie. And that's what it's really, whether you're in Australia or, you know, in the Nashville area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're totally right, Tom.
By the way, I have to tell you, may not be aware of this, but your sister and I, Rebecca, we were Disciple Now tag team partners back in the day.
Okay, go on.
It's a small world. No, I just thought, I mean, she was very cool. I was not very cool. We had the big Discipleship Now weekend at the church, and they said, "All right, Todd, you know, you're in charge of this group." And then here's on the other side was the girls, and Rebecca was in charge of the girls. She did a great job. She kept everybody in line.
Cool. It really is a small world. I remember seeing you up in New York however many years ago. I was like,
wow.
God, it's been a few years, and you've gone on to do extraordinary things, and obviously we're proud of you. And it's a joy to have some of these conversations. It really is.
Luke, so incredibly proud of you, and watching you and your brothers grow up and, you know, see the incredible impact you guys are having on the next generation with King and Country. I mean, what a blessing. And then your brother's in the film. Is that right? Joel's in the film. Is that true?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Joel, speaking of therapy, my brother Joel has joked that it's a very expensive therapy session playing my dad. And it's actually interesting because it has been special for, I think, him, because he, you know, when it's easy for us as kids to kind of, you know, go to our mom and dad like, "Dad, you know, knock it off," or, "Why are you so strong on this topic?" Or, "Why are you, you know, so passionate about this, that, or the other?" But when you go through and actually live a little bit of their story, live a little bit about who they are, you start to go, "Oh, well, now I know a little bit more about why Dad had this thought or was passionate about this." And I think that's been very, very true for Joel. It's given him a lot of compassion and empathy for Dad.
You get, the older you get, you realize the more, you know, right your parents were just about everything.
No, and you're right. And even to speak to that, I mean, literally, my brother Joel is turning 40 this year, which is roughly same age that my dad was when we came to America. So there's a lot of pretty interesting cross connects there.
Wow. What a crazy thing. And what a great film. Folks, April 26th, the movie Unsung Hero. They've got a great website. Go check it out, unsunghero.movie. You can also get to our website, toddstearns.com. We have links to all of that. And, of course, an opportunity for you to buy tickets for your family. I know our church here in the Memphis area, I think we have a massive block of seats already for the film. So we're pretty excited and pumped about that. Luke, great hearing from you, and man, just congratulations and God bless.
Hey, thank you so much. And just for one other word, there's actually a See It First screening going around America tonight that people can go get tickets. It's around, obviously, out nationwide the 26th, but there's a special screening for a lot of theaters tonight as well. So look up your local listings, and we'd love to see you.
Fantastic. All right, Luke Smallbone, everybody, from King and Country, the incredible movie telling the story of how the Smallbone family came here to this country. And, of course, Rebecca St. James blessing so many people with her music. Again, unsunghero.movie. All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Wide awake while the world is sound asleep, and too afraid of what might show up while you're dreaming.
Nobody, well, a little bit of King and Country on this very busy news afternoon. Some of the nicest people in the world, and what an incredible story of family. They came here with absolutely nothing, and now they are making a national impact with their music and their ministry and their story. And I love it. It's all about family. By the way, this coming in from UCLA, the medical school has a mandatory health equity class that is teaching students that weight loss is a hopeless endeavor. They also say that obesity, the word obesity, is a slur used to exact violence on fat people. Wait a second. If obesity is a slur, what about fat people? What about the word fat? Is that bad? Can you call them lard butts? Is that inappropriate? Okay. That may be a slur.
You're a lard ass.
All right. Sorry. Pardon me. We're just getting some breaking news, and pardon me, my voice, it's the allergies, and I'm telling you, it's like you walk outside and you come back and you're covered in green dust. This just in from Harvard University, where Hamas terrorists have stormed the Harvard yard, and they're setting up these tents. This is unbelievable. In the meantime, down in Texas... Oh, this is a hoot. So we're getting word at the University of Texas, Austin, that the Hamas terrorist there tried to protest on the campus. And may I just say, ladies and gentlemen, I commend the law enforcement down in Texas, because they came in with riot gear on. And let's just say, they're cracking skulls right now down at the University of Texas, Austin. So anyway, the children, they thought they could pull a Columbia down in Texas, and they made a very, very bad tactical error. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on those developments. But what did we tell you yesterday and the day before yesterday? Get ready. This is going to happen in your neighborhood. If you have a university in your city or your town, this will happen. And again, these are not nice little tutti-frutti, tiptoe through the tulip, hippy-dippy protesters.
We are the world. We are.
No, that's not them. These people want to kill Jews, and then they want to kill the rest of us. I mean, it really is that simple. So we have to call it what it is. And on this program, they are referred to as Hamas terrorists. We have Hamas sleeper cells now operating on American soil. And we ought to take these people very seriously when they say that they want to kill all the Jews and they want to kill Americans. I think we ought to take them at their word. Now, some people may disagree with that, and that's okay. It's a free country. You can disagree with that. But if you go back, and I hope you go back, listen to the podcast later today, Vicky Palladino, listen to the indignation. I mean, there is a great frustration in New York City right now where you do have a lot of law-abiding people, and they just want the cops to enforce the laws. But you've got City Hall, you've got the police department leadership, and they're stepping in and they're saying, no, we're not gonna allow you to intervene. And, of course, at Columbia, it's private property. And that's why you had the rabbi saying a couple of days ago, if you're a Jew and you're a student at Columbia, you need to get your butt out of there immediately, and you need to get back home because it is not safe for you. And I will say this, if you are Jewish and these protests are breaking out on your campus, you need to get out of there because these are very dangerous people and they're threatening another October 7th, but this time on American soil. All right, folks, got to scoot out of here. It has been a great day. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Be sure to watch tomorrow. We're back again. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow, folks. Stick around. This is the Todd Stern Show.